Continuation to our series today. We've been doing a series that's called Four Beatitudes That Transform the Church. And I know that if you've been with me for the last two Beatitudes, you'll realize, well, I think the pastor made those up. Right? Happy are you if you know why you're here. And the answer to that is, if you're here for the sake of Jesus, then everything changes.
Amen.
Right? The second one was, happy are you if you know what to do. And if you know that your job is to be Jesus' witness first, if you witness for Jesus, then everything else will change. God will witness with you. We saw that last week.
Amen.
Today we're going to look at another beatitude. The third beatitude that we're going to be looking at today, that is a powerful beatitude. Now, I'm telling you, friends, that if you're here for the sake of Jesus, if you witness Jesus first, and all that you do, it will transform everything that we do. This next one that we're going to look at is more transformative than all the other ones. In fact, it is a powerful, transformational thing. Now, I want you to think about it today as we study in the Scriptures. And the beatitude that we're going to be studying today is, happy are you if you know the secret ingredient. The secret ingredient. Yes, hallelujah, brother. You know, when you think about one of the things that we know in life is that everybody wants to find the secret ingredient. Think about the service industries. You know, the service industries like realtors and restaurants and all these different things. They have discovered the secret ingredient, and for them, the secret ingredient is customer satisfaction. Am I right? Yeah, I know it, because when I go someplace where I buy something that they then can come back to me, they'll oftentimes they're going to send me something in the mail, or they'll send me an email and they'll say, tell us what did you like? How did we do? A customer satisfaction survey. So I know the reason they do that is because they want to know if their employees know what the secret ingredient is. It's customer satisfaction, because if they do know it, then their business will thrive. Am I right? And another area in businesses they do that too is in brands. You know, sometimes people look for the secret ingredient that makes their brand stand out. Sort of like this cartoon of a little boy. He's sitting there with his dad. His dad was brave and he cooked him breakfast that day. And the little boy looks at his dad and says, Dad, it's missing the secret ingredient. Mom. You know, moms really are a brand. You can't do without them, friends. Praise God for mothers, right? But just to give you another example, think about the brands that people buy. Who knows what this brand is? I bet a few of you knew instantly what this brand was. You know, I'm not a lady, so I really don't know why it is about the Coach purses, why it is such a, you know, they have discovered the secret ingredient, haven't they, of what it takes. I know that women will pass by purses that look identical to those. They'll pass them by, even though they're less expensive, to get a Coach purse. Why is that? Because Coach has discovered the secret ingredient, haven't they? And so the question that we want to ask ourselves today as we study the Bible, and I'd like to ask you today, is let me see if this. Does the church as an organization have a secret ingredient? A secret ingredient that when people come in contact, they will know that that is the genuine article. A secret ingredient that will give them a 5-star rating. When someone gives them the form to fill out, how did we do? They'll get the 5 stars. Does the church have a secret ingredient? Well, the answer to that question is it does. And today I'd like to study that with you as Jesus Christ himself reveals to us the secret ingredient that shows that we're the real deal, the secret ingredient that gives us the 5-star Jesus rating. And that secret ingredient is found in our text that we're going to be studying today. But before we get into it, let's look at the context of what's happening. So the church can have a secret ingredient. Let's look where Jesus was. Our text takes place at the end of Christ's ministry. He was with the disciples, and he had just washed their feet. Judas was getting ready to walk out the door. And Jesus now comes to them and has this to say very solemnly to them.
chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus comes to them, verse 33, a little children, I am with you a little longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. Can you imagine the finality of that statement to those disciples who had been following Jesus all that time, that suddenly Jesus says to them something that says, look, I'm going somewhere, you're not coming. You're staying. Imagine for a moment how they might feel. You see, because what Jesus was telling them was that where Jesus was going, he was going to the cross, and then he was going to be resurrected, and then he was going to ascend into heaven. They weren't going to be there. Jesus was not going to be with them physically so that he could settle their disputes. Jesus was not going to be there physically so they could come and ask him and say, are you right? Are you right? Jesus was not going to be there physically for them. And so as a result, Jesus gives them the secret ingredient. The secret ingredient that would ensure that for the rest of the time when the disciples go forward in time, they would be known as genuine disciples of Jesus. And here's what it is. Jesus said to them, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You know, this is the secret ingredient. Love one another. You know, oftentimes we think this, that what we're supposed to love is the people out there, right? I love the people in the mission field. I love the people that I'm working for. But what Jesus says is that the secret ingredient is not that we love people out there, it's that we love people in here. The secret ingredient is that you love one another. And I want to take a few moments, friends, and unpack this incredible statement of Christ, this secret ingredient that proves that we are genuine, that proves that we can have a 5-star rating here, because this text has some powerful things in it. And so I'm going to share with you 7 powerful things that come from this text, 7 things that we're going to learn from this text today. Are you ready? Get your notebooks out. Here we go. Number one, the secret ingredient is a precept of Jesus. It is a precept of Jesus. I want you to think about that for a minute because this is so important. You see, oftentimes we think of commands. The word up there is command. That's the one I've got highlighted. Oftentimes we think of commands as differently. We think of them as things to avoid, sort of like a fence. You know, you put a fence in your yard to keep you safe or keep someone out, right, or keep you in. So we often think of commandments as do and don't. Don't do this. Don't do that. But let me share with you that all the commandments that God gives are actually precepts. And a precept is interesting. A precept is a command or a principle that's intended as a general rule of action. Listen to what it says in the Psalms. Look how precepts and commands are the same here. Psalms 19, verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And so precepts and commands are the same things. And they're rules of action. And the way you need to think of a precept of Jesus or a command of God, because this is a new command from Jesus, is instead of thinking of them as a fence to keep things out or to keep you out, think of them as a pathway through which you're to follow. And that's what a precept is. All the commandments of God are pathways. And you know, when I looked at this picture, I thought of Oregon. I said, now imagine on either side of the path, you've got poison oak. And you'd be safe to stay on the path. But that's taking us back the wrong way. Think of precepts. In other words, this new command that Jesus is giving us is actually a precept. It's a pathway to walk on. Okay? It's a pathway, a journey in life. It's something that Jesus wants us to do. All right, so that's the first thing. The second thing is that it is a new precept. Look what it says. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. You know, obviously, we read the Old Testament, and we think to ourselves, well, didn't Jesus say, wasn't it in Leviticus 18, yeah, you know, you'll love your neighbor as yourself? But guess what, friends? This is actually a new commandment. It's brand new. Because it's not talking about you loving somebody else. It's talking about you loving one another. It's new for Christians. See, Jesus was giving a commandment, a new precept, and he was giving it for a specific group of people. He was giving it to the disciples of Jesus. And so this is your commandment. It's nobody else's. It's brand new. And so we've got a new commandment. It is a new precept. It's a precept, and it's a new one. It's just for you. And guess what? Here's the third one. Number three, write this down. It requires that everyone participate. Everyone participate. I want you to think about this for a minute. The Greek word here, it's an amazing thing that we are talking about here, because the term one another implies that it's mutual. Let me give you an example. The exact same Greek word that's used in another place in the Bible. Here it is in John chapter 13, verse 22. It says that Jesus is talking and he says something, and look what it says. The disciples began looking at one another, at a loss to know at who he was speaking to. So here we have a situation where the disciples were all looking at each other at the same time. It was happening mutually. And so when Jesus says, you will love one another, it's something that has to happen from everyone. Okay? So all the disciples have to do it. New precept. It's a precept from God. It's a new precept. And every single person has to do it. Everyone who's a Christian has to get involved, okay? So you can't have this group over here that's loving one another and that group over there that's not. It has to happen everywhere. Does that make sense, brothers and sisters in the balcony today? Can you say amen? Amen. All right, praise the Lord. How about over here in the chapel? Is that making sense? Do you see it? Everybody has to do it. It's a new precept. All the people have to do it at the same time. Wow, and it's all equal. So this is getting kind of exciting, isn't it? Well, wait, it's going to get a little better here as we go along. Number four, the love that we're to have for one another must meet a standard. It must meet a standard. Can you tell me, friends, what the standard is? As Christ loved us. You see that cross up there? You know, I thought to myself, you know, I could get out the Greek lexicon and I could put down the word love, and it's a fond regard for one another, to cherish, to love. And I thought to myself, man, we're going to lower the bar. Instead, let's just go right to the place where it belongs. Jesus set this love not the way we do in the dictionary, not the way we feel about love. He set this love at a standard of his own. He said it right there where he loved us. And what was Jesus willing to do for you? He was willing to die for you. That's love. Are you getting this? We are to love one another at the level that we're willing to sacrifice our lives for one another? Lord, are you serious? We're to love one another with sacrificial love. With love that's, you know, when you think about that kind of love, that's love where you are more important than I am. Your feelings are more important than my feelings. Your needs are more important than my needs. That's an incredible love, isn't it? I mean, the bar is way up there. It's beyond the ceiling here. Can you jump over that? Think about that. Here we have a precept from Jesus, a pathway to walk on, a command of Christ. It's a new one because it's for all of you here today. It requires that every single one of us participate. The standard that we have to meet is at the very love level of Christ himself. Highest level imaginable. Let's look at the next one here. Number five. The determining factor as to whether or not we have the secret ingredient is based upon an appraisal. I'm going to say that again. The determining factor as to whether or not we even have this is based upon an appraisal. Now, I want to talk to you about that for a minute because this is going to be kind of tough here, okay? When I came to Roseburg, when I first came here, I'm only 3 weeks old here. When I came to Roseburg, we bought a house. And when we bought this house, we placed the offer on the house. The lender did not trust me as to the value of that house. The lender didn't trust the seller as to the value of the house. Instead, they went and got an outside person, somebody that wasn't associated with me or them, and they came and they looked at the house. What do they call that person? An appraiser, that's right. They didn't trust me. They went to the appraiser, and the appraiser then said how much that house was worth. And this is exactly what's happening here. Except the difference is who is it that's our appraiser? Ah, look what it says up there. By this, all men will know. You see, the appraiser that we have this secret ingredient doesn't come from you. Jesus doesn't trust you to tell, oh yeah, sure, I love you. Yeah, we love each other. The appraisal comes from people that are outside of here. The appraisal comes from people that we come in contact with that know us. See, the appraisal is that all men will know. It's all the rest of the people will know. It's the people outside of here that will tell us whether we're genuine or not. They give us the appraisal that we really love one another. Did you catch that? That's pretty tough. Let me share with you how tough that is. Let's think about this for a moment. One of the things that I've noticed is that the way people know about us is the way we talk about ourselves and the way we talk about each other. Can you imagine that? Imagine one of our members of our community. They have they're a believing spouse, and they have an unbelieving spouse and at home and doesn't come to church. And one day Sister Jane comes over, and you know how things get. Did you hear about Sister so-and-so? And we were just talking about that. And, oh, that pastor, he said this terrible thing, and blah, 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 blah. Has ever happened in a church like this? The way we gossip about one another, instead of talking to each other, we talk about each other. Has that ever happened here? Oh, no. Couldn't happen here. But think about that for a minute. How does that unbelieving spouse going to think about whether we love one another? You know, how we talk about each other and how we talk about ourselves really determines the outside world knows how we love each other. Isn't that right? Or am I wrong? That unbelieving spouse is going to say, they don't love each other. There's no way there's love there. You see, Jesus tells us the secret ingredient comes from the outside. It's what others say about us that counts. Not what we say about ourselves that counts. It's what other people say about us that counts. It tells us whether we're genuine or not. You see, did you see what Jesus did to us? He put the appraisal on the outside, not on the inside. We're not the government. We can't investigate ourselves. You gotta get this. This is where it all comes down right here. Our appraisal comes from outside, how people see us. Let me share with you another story. Similar thing. When I was in Dodge Center pastoring, I was a member of the Chamber of Commerce there. And inside the town of Dodge Center, even though it's only 3,000 people, such a small town, it had all the industry, basically the whole county was right there. One of the big businesses was called McNeilus Truck Manufacturing. It's a place where they make the cement mixers and the trash trucks. And they ship them all over the United States. It's owned by the Oshkosh Company now. And the president of that division just happened to be speaking that day
at the Chamber of Commerce. He was a brand new president, and there he was speaking about his company. He stood up and he told us all about McNeil's Truck Manufacturing, and he told us about all the great things they were doing. He told us about all their manufacturing techniques and all their customers and all the sales. And man, when he got done speaking, I was like, get me the phone. I'm going to call a broker and buy some stock. That guy, that company is going up. And so then he had the questioning and the answer time. One of the guys started asking him a question about Carl Icahn and how they were trying to buy him out and all this sort of thing. And he answered those questions so beautifully. There were problems in the company, but he stood up there and he answered those questions. And I still said, you know what? I'm still going to buy some stock. I think I went home and told my wife, Julie. I said, we got to buy some stock. You know, the way he talked about himself and his company made me feel like I believed in it. See, our appraisal comes from outside the doors of this church. We talk about one another, and how we talk about ourselves is going to determine in a lot of respects that appraisal, isn't it? I did hear a story this week, though, about how some people in this church are loving one another. So much so that the person that told the story was telling me that they wanting to know about our church a little bit. So I know what's happening. But I just wanted to share that with you because guess what? The appraisal comes from outside the church. All right, number six. It shows that we're genuine. You know, it says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, genuine disciples of Jesus, if you love one another. And that's really kind of the key, isn't it? The key is that we're genuine. This is the determining factor. How we love one another, how we treat one another, it shows we're genuine. You know, in fact, John, who wrote this gospel, wrote 1 John, and he talked about it so many times in 1 John. I wanted to share with you how seriously powerful and how important this secret ingredient really is to have in this church. Listen to this. All right, you ready? It is a sign that we abide in the light. 1 John 2:10, the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. It determines which child you are. 1 John 3:10. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. It is a sign that you are born again. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. It is the true test that we love God. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has seen. And finally, it is life and death. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love God abides in death. Do you see that? Whoa, I mean, this is pretty incredible, isn't it? You know, I wanted to share with you that the seventh thing that we can learn from this text that Jesus gives us is this. This is something we cannot do alone. I was hoping that while I was preaching this message to you, that you'd be very uncomfortable. I was hoping that when I showed you that the standard that we have to meet, that we all have to participate in, that this new precept of Jesus was out of this world because it required us to deny our very selves to love somebody else, is so high. And that the need for it is so great because the appraisal comes from outside that all of us here would be sitting there going like this because we realize we can't do it alone.
just like everything that I've been teaching so far, we're here for the sake of Jesus. That means we can't do it without him. We're witnessing of Jesus. That's because that's our first witness. And friends, we cannot begin to truly love one another without Jesus in our lives. Do you believe me? We cannot love Jesus. We cannot love one another without Jesus in our lives. We need a revival. And a revival like none other to put Jesus back on the throne of our lives so that we could truly love one another. Do you believe me? And if we do, God promises something. He will pour out that love. Let me share with you what it says. Romans 5:5 is my favorite text. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. See, God promises through Jesus to pour into us this love that will give us the ability to love one another. That the community of Christ would be a community of love. Self-sacrificing, putting the other person first, their needs, their hopes, their desires, before our own even. That's love. Jesus sacrificed everything for your sake. Jesus sacrificed. He was God. He became man for you to show you who God was, so that through him, through your faith and belief in him, you could have salvation. So that you, when he returns, will have an undying body. You have a gift of eternity. God loves you so much. The bar is very high, friends. Don't ever think that loving one another is so simple a thing. It's not. How many of you today would like to make a commitment? You'd like to say to yourself, you know, Pastor, if you make an appeal, I'm going to have to say, and it me. I've been letting you down. I haven't been loving that church member, this one over here, that one over there. You know, I haven't been talking right about us as a church. I haven't been talking right about him or her. I want you to change me. If that's you today, won't you pray with me about that? You know, you may be saying to yourself in the balcony, you may be saying, I'm not picking on you, but yeah, I am. I like to pick on you. You know, you may be saying, it's time, Lord, for me to recommit and re-understand what it means to be a Christian, to be a disciple of Jesus, because I gotta love one another. I don't get a choice. Jesus' command, his precept, his path, the journey that we have is everybody. It's not just the elders. It's not just the deacons or the deaconesses. It's got to be all of us in here today. Lord, I'm not up to that. I need strength that I don't have. How many of you want to say that today? I need strength that I don't have. I don't have it. But I believe in you, Jesus. And I know that you'll pour out that love in my heart. You'll give me what I don't have. How many of you like to ask for that today? Because let me share with you that if we truly love one another, people from outside will begin to talk about it. People from outside will see mighty deeds happening. They'll see healing that has never taken place. Washing of feet that you couldn't imagine sister so-and-so and sister so-and-so doing ever. You're going to find an amazing transformation if we will love one another as Jesus has loved us. And for all of you who are making commitments today, asking God in His mercy to pour it out in our hearts, let's pray together. Come on, let's all pray together right now. Father in heaven, thank you so much for sharing with us a precept. Not to fence us in, but to open up a pathway for our lives. A precept that teaches us that we must do something that only you really could do. To love unconditionally with other person-focused love. Lord God, all of us know now that we're not really capable without your help. We pray today, Lord, that in your mercy and in your love, that you would pour out into our hearts the love of God through the Holy Spirit. I'm praying right now for the latter rain to be pouring out in this church on all these people, that your Spirit would pour out into our hearts this love, that we would be able to stand genuine, that we would be able to stand at the end. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.